listener production.
As much fun as using a fake name on your coffee order.
Skinny chai tea. Oksana.
That's me.
Peppermint mocha with a double shot for a Min Lee.
That's me.
It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Just continuing my string of looking goofy around Brisbane, Alex Dyson, after I had my balloon fiasco trying to squeeze the helium balloons into the boot of my car on the weekend.
Yeah. Have they deflated yet, or you still got them sort of like half bobbing around your house?
One was so like middle of the road, sad deflated, but not quite deflated enough that it was literally just floating in the middle of the air.
Yeah.
Like it was like right in the middle ground.
It's weird when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It was very kooky. But we were umming and ahhing whether I should ride my bike to work on Monday. And then it was raining. And Belinda said, no, it'll be fine. It'll clear up later that arvo. It didn't. So suddenly I had to whack on the emergency poncho that I bought for $1.50 from dollars and cents. Right? This thing, let's say it was not skin tight. It was
The old poncho is not the most aerodynamic.
Oh my god!
Why you don't see Cadell Evans wearing his emergency poncho in the Tour de France.
It was the full blown music festival, like big baggy clear number.
It gets cut in the spokes, wouldn't it?
It was flying behind me. It just kept flapping, and I just kept doing that thing. I was like, please don't let me drive past someone I know right now. You cannot look cool raining in a big emergency poncho riding your bike through the back street to Brisbane.
But luckily you can look cool on podcast because you're still wearing it in the studio and he's looking very cool right now. I can guarantee you that.
Well, that's because we're so wet, bruv.
What?
Isn't wet a cool thing? I'm pretty sure wet's a cool thing. Like, you know how people say, like, man, that was cold, man. That was real cold.
But wet was...
Isn't wet
when
cool?
Someone gets aroused.
Does wet mean cool? No, I'm pretty sure wet means cool.
Oh. Well, I've been using that
wet. Wet. Urban Dictionary, a word used to describe someone who's being, you know, dopeness or awesomeness.
Today's show is going to be super wet. It's going to make you really wet. And we're going to just dive into it, shall we?
No, to be fair, there's a few other explanations underneath that one that might explain what you're talking about. All right, let's move on. Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. So if you have any good ones.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Hot.
Take this.
Well, grab your yogurt, grab your banana, grab your tall tumbler of milk. It's time for someone to hot take it away.
Yes.
And this week, Matt O'Kine, you are stepping up to the habanero plate to give us something you've been thinking about.
Oh, well, look, it comes off the back of a news article I read about the Ottawa School Board, which is changing the way they do graduation ceremonies by allowing students who didn't pass to participate.
Okay, I feel something happening here, so please hot take it away.
Okay, listen. We have got to stop normalizing losers, okay? We have to stop it. Humanity will not move forward if we keep saying, hey, losing is a totally okay thing to do.
You're not losing, you're learning though.
Losing sucks and you should avoid it at all costs, but instead we're just making it totally okay. Hey, here's the thing. If you haven't mastered the art of winning after 12 years of schooling, then you know you don't get to go to the graduation, okay? You just miss out on that little bit.
Okay,
it's fine.
So wait, there's a difference between winning and passing, though.
Sure. Passing is winning. Passing, trying, doing your best, getting there. I'm sure that if you did all that, you'd have gotten through.
So...
But instead, it didn't work out, and that's fine. Guess what? It's okay. If you didn't make it, that's fine. But you don't get the prize anymore. Okay? You don't get a prize every time. We got to stop this participation scheme that happens every... Like, how old are you going to be until you stop getting participation certificates?
So you reckon participation certificates in this society just coddling a bit too much?
I was at Sophia's bloody birthday party, my own daughter's birthday party. Just on Sunday, doing a bit of pass the parcel. Oh, do we want to play Lucky's Dad's Rules?
Okay.
That's a Bluey reference. Of course, everyone's like, no, let's do the new way. Everyone gets a prize.
So you unwrap the present, and instead of nothing, there's a prize in every layer.
Yes, and like it's like the same level of prize. So I'm there. Then I'm not even playing it properly. I'm looking around, turning my back, trying to like time when each person gets a prize. All the kids are looking at me, looking at them. I've got kids
waiting to give people. So you want past the past to be more capitalist society where the rich can get richer. Right, you don't want to play this bloody socialist game of pass the parcel where everyone gets an equal share.
Do you know what I want? I want pass the parcel to be where I just leave the parcel in the middle of a park and the kids just bloody tear it apart. Okay? They use sticks. They use fists. Whatever it takes. Whoever gets what's in the middle.
So it's not party games, it's Hunger Games is what should be
yes,
happening
exactly.
In order to make sure that places like the Ottawa school community don't just let people who fail out of school, who flunk out.
We need to make pass the parcel realistic, okay? In that I give the group of kids at the party the big parcel and they keep unwrapping it over and over again and then find out that it's absolutely empty and that I've given everything to the child of a rich banker. That's what we need to do. That's life.
Only then will they be prepared for what they'll face in
exactly.
The real world.
I'll say, sorry, a rich mining magnate's child got all of the stuff in the parcel. You have nothing. Work harder next time. That's what I will say.
Say, it's your fault for being born to us losers having a picnic in the park instead of being on a yacht in the Mediterranean.
Exactly. And only then will these little people learn. So, yeah, you don't get to go to your graduation like ceremony if you don't graduate. That's life. Guess what? I don't get to go to the Oscars. Oh, can I have it? Can I have a go, please? I didn't get. Oh, well, guess what? You didn't earn an Oscar this year, O'Kine. So you don't get to go. Anyways, that's my hot take.
Well, there you go. Get your hot takes through as well. We love to hear your own. Mats.n.alex on Instagram. Let's keep this show on the road.
Are you keeping juicy goss from me?
Do you know what's going on here?
We know what's going on.
You won't believe it.
Real juicy.
So let's just keep it on the down low, shall we?
Matt and Alex's Insiders.
I tell you what, we have not done this segment for quite a while where we get a person who works in a certain industry to jump on the phone and tell us all the juicy behind-the-scenes details of their profession. But we thought, given recently, Matt O'Kine, I made the spicy hot take that we should replace CEOs and rubbish collection experts in both status and finances in society, we'd check in with a resident Garbo.
Hello. Hi there.
That's it. Now, it's Garbo Lauren. How are you going, Lauren?
I'm good. How are you?
No, we're good, Lauren. Now, normally we would try to hide the voice of an insider, but are you happy to go on the record?
Yes, that's fine. Nothing that I wouldn't say to any other member of the public. So, all good.
Great. Okay, so tell us first about what being a garbage collector is actually like. Do you stink?
Look, yes. You know how you just mentioned before about juicy? Yeah, garbage is quite juicy. And so, yes.
Where does the juice come from? I actually don't know. Where does it come from?
You know how when you throw out your coffee and it's got a little bit in the bottom? Mm. Or you've got your food waste, that is wet, so that gets smelly.
Yeah, well, putting my coffee cup in the bin, I always at the sink, pour it out and then put it in dry.
Oh,
I don't want the bin juice at the bottom of my own bag. So why would I want it in the back of your truck?
You know what would be better? If you just had a reusable cup in the first place.
Well, wow. Okay, hot takes from Lauren now.
Speaking from someone who works in the recycling industry, Lauren, that is some pretty good stuff.
You reckon people don't understand how rubbish works?
I don't think, no, definitely not. I still don't understand how it works and I'm in the industry. So
how long have you been in the industry?
I was a driver for about a year and now I'm in the office a little bit as well, but I still drive trucks from time to time. Mm-hmm. I've been about 3 years total, yeah.
And what got you into the industry?
I was in tourism for about 8 years, so COVID got me into the waste industry. It's the most stable industry that I've ever worked in.
That would be so true. At
oh my
no
God.
Point is everyone going to go, you know what? I don't feel we need podcasters anymore. But I do feel we need our rubbish disposed of.
Exactly. Honestly, the best part of my job is when I go past a guy or a lady and they may be a little bit older and they are waiting for me, right? So you go in and you pick up their bin and it's their highlight of their day seeing you. It's great.
Lauren, we used to have my daughter and I used to stand on the balcony and wave to the garbage collector every week. It became a bit of a ritual, and I felt sad that I wouldn't see them again when I moved house. So you must make lots of friends.
Yeah, I actually did a run where I was getting in and out of the truck. So it's called like a rear loader. So you get out and you bring the bin to the back of the truck. Mm-hmm. And I had all my locals that I would see, local homeless guy, the cafe, like that always waved to me. And because I'm a female, they're a bit taken back at first. But now it was like lovely to see them and wave to them every day. It was like my little ritual. It was awesome.
Well, you might make also a few friends, a few enemies, depending on your generosity when it comes to people running out of their house in the dressing gown. It might have slipped their mind the night before. What was your policy when it came to latecomers?
Fine, really. Like, as long as it's the danger that I worry about, right? So if you're hanging around the bin when I'm trying to move the truck or move the bin, it can be dangerous. Like, we've had instances where people have like walked underneath the bin as it's being lowered. And obviously that's super dangerous. So as long as you're not putting yourself in harm's way, you can bring your bin out.
They almost got bonked on the head by the bin getting lowered by the arm.
Yeah, we had somebody up north a couple of weeks ago actually got hit on the shoulder. Thank goodness it was only worse than that, because he walked underneath because he was trying to put his bin in front of the bin that was due to be picked up because he put his bin out late.
I've heard, Lauren, that for two questions. First one, what is the biggest pet peeve you have of people with what they do with their rubbish?
People putting the wrong thing in the wrong bin. Mm. I'm quite eco-conscious as well, and hazardous waste. So putting batteries or like aerosol cans in your general rubbish, you can't actually do that, and it's actually dangerous. I've had a truck fire before because people have put stuff that they're not supposed to in the back of the bin.
Put like batteries and aerosols in there and the truck catches fire.
Yeah. We have about a truck fire a week, yeah.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
All right, well, people, protect your local garbo. Keep those incendiary devices out of the bins, please.
Okay, wait, so what is it? No batteries, no aerosol cans, anything else?
Chemicals, pretty much, because that can react with another chemical. It's really tricky, because what else do you do with it, right? Because safety council,
I'd say try and keep Meadokine's mixtapes out of there as well.
Oh, my God, I would hate
that.
That would
100% catch on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm so sorry, Lauren.
That's usually where people put them, so it makes it very difficult to keep them
Okay. And what about, Lauren, I've got a friend who builds cameras for garbage trucks, so I didn't realise that there were cameras on every single truck, and you're actually looking at every load that goes into the back.
Yep, definitely.
Oh, so you can spot when something's in there that shouldn't be.
Yeah, so, well, I guess it depends on where you are, right? But if it's a residential bin, like it's your normal household bin, we just tell our staff at the office, and then they'll go and put a sticker on that bin saying you're not doing the right thing, and we'll get it audited and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get people to do the right thing, but it's hard because people don't know.
Do garbage collectors, when they're picking up their bins, do they ever find something that they go, actually, that looks pretty good. I don't know why that's thrown out. I'm going to be keeping this.
Half of my house is made up of stuff I've taken from the bin.
What? Really?
Do you
pick up hard rubbish, or do people dump them in the wheelies?
Not so much the wheelies, no. So I work with skip bins as well now. Yeah. So, all my outdoor furniture, that was due to be thrown away. I caught it before it went in the bin, and I've taken it home, and it's my outdoor setting outside. It all came from the bin.
What? So good. I love it.
Yes, please. And something that I was super confused by is, why do they make you work so early in the morning?
Well, that's the thing. We want to work early, right? Because as soon as there's too many cars on the road, it makes our life so much harder and much, much more unsafe. So it's better to do it early in the morning. But I finish at 2 o'clock every day. So why wouldn't I want to do that?
That's true.
I'd love to start early, finish early, get down to the beach. Perfect. That's me living life.
Oh, yeah. Well done, Lauren. Thank you so much for sharing everything about your garbage collection days.
Well, we better ask quickly about the, I reckon that you should replace CEOs for how much you guys get paid and the golden handshakes as well.
Is the pay good?
Is it a lucrative industry to be working in?
Honestly, it really is. I think a lot of people think we don't get paid very well, but it's the overtime that gets you. So you work in 10 hours a day, but I actually took a pay cut to go into the office of about 20K a year. So yeah. Drivers make good money. They that's why they do it, right? It's not just the environment that they love. It's also the fact that they're getting pretty coin in their pocket.
Oh, nice one. Well, thank you very much for cleaning up our streets, Lauren. We very much appreciate it. And hopefully you can swing your truck around this podcast one day and do a bit of bloody cleaning up around here, because there is some garbage coming out of our mouths some days, mate.
I tell you what, we've got put out a lot of wheelie bins at the end of a recording.
And you know what? Every time I'm feeling a bit blue, I just put that that song that you guys created, the bin goes up, bin goes down, and it really helps my day.
There you go.
It's such a good song.
Turn around.
All right. Thank you so much, Lauren. You're the best. We'll catch you next time.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Order up. Just how you like it.
Perfect. And now it's time for... Yes, Matt O'Kine, the Faxter. Coming in hard with the beep. That's what you get when you accidentally call a fax number, isn't it? Something really loud and annoying.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea what you were going. I thought you were just swearing for a long time, and our audio producer had to cut it all out. So yes, it is the time where I come in and try and blow your mind with the fact that I've learned across the week. And Alex Dyson, this comes off the back of a news story which shocked me because I had recently done this. That's right. An airplane that flew from Sydney to Auckland had a moment in the sky in which 50 people were injured. Flight LA 800.
Boeing one, wasn't it?
We experienced a major incident of Boeing 787 Dreamliner. It plunged suddenly from out of nowhere. I flew to Auckland like 2 weeks ago. So suddenly I was like, oh my God, that actually could have been me.
Well, things have been going sus as at Boeing recently. John Oliver covered what's going on with them. Then one of the whistleblowers at Boeing was found deceased as well. It's been a crazy week at Boeing.
Well, look, it's not the craziest week in the world of aviation history. One of the stories that I'd like to sort of showcase, which is a little bit grim, but I do find it quite mind-blowing, I was revisited by this week. So, yes, the flight LA-800 dropped out of the sky, but they were able to stabilize it. And apparently the driver just kept going, right? Didn't even make an announcement. People like flying up to the roof, bashing their bleeding.
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, man.
None of that. Okay. They only found out when it landed and people had broken ribs, broken noses, etc. Okay, so. One guy said he fell asleep and then he opened up. He said, I opened my eyes and the guy next to me was on the roof. He said, looking down on me. It was like The Exorcist. Imagine that.
Wait, so obviously when a plane falls out of the sky and you're not buckled in, you sort of stay in air where you are and the plane moves around you.
Straight up.
So you go up into the roof. And so he was stuck up there. So the guy next to him was seatbelted, so he would go down with the plane.
Seatbelted,
and then the other
guy
stuck on the roof for a couple of seconds or something.
So the guy wakes up and there's just a dude on the roof floating above him like, whoa. Okay.
Oh, man.
So anyways, what it did is make me revisit a story which is quite a famous story in air aviation crashing history. In which it was Aeroflot flight 593, where the plane crashed into a mountain range, all 75 occupants died on board, and that was because cockpit voice and flight data recorders revealed that the relief captain had brought his two children into the cockpit.
No.
Now, the relief captain set something onto the autopilot to allow his 13-year-old daughter to control the plane, but it wasn't actually controlling it. She was just moving the sort of like when you joystick thing.
Give your little brother an unplugged-in PlayStation controller.
Yeah, exactly.
And pretend that he's playing Tekken.
On the other side, apparently, in the other pilot's seat or whatever, the son was doing the same thing, but used the joystick so hard or something, like controlled it so hard autopilot actually disengaged.
So, like, if you're on cruise control and you press the brake, it'll just stop cruise control.
Yeah. So, okay, here's what happened. Just under 4 minutes after Elder occupied the pilot seat, his actions caused the flight computer to switch to the plane's ailerons to manual control, okay, while maintaining control over the other flight systems. Elder, his son, the 15-year-old, was now in partial control of the aircraft. Oh. A silent indicator light came on to alert the pilots to this partial disengagement, but the pilots, who hadn't flown this type of plane before, and didn't notice, right? So the son became the first to notice the problem when he observed that the plane was banking right. It then got into a bit of a nose spin. It went down. They managed to recover it, but then they recovered it too steeply. It then disengaged and stalled. By the time they finally were able to grab it again, they crashed into a mountain.
And this is all just from, like, the black box.
Everyone on board died.
Oh, my
God. And it was in the middle of the night, flying from Russia to Hong Kong. Can you believe that?
Oh.
This is 30. It's almost 30 years ago to the day. This happened on the 23rd of March, 1994.
Well, it's mind-blowing, but I hate it.
I'm sorry. I know, but it is absolutely mind-blowing. One, it's mind-blowing that people were allowed just into the cockpit. Like, that was just a thing that used to happen.
The old days. The bad old days.
Before September 11, if anyone doesn't know this, if you're a bit younger, I remember captains getting in and out of the cockpit. It was just like an open slather.
Yeah, goodness.
And anyways, so this is what happened. So what do you reckon?
Yeah, you get a mind blown, but again, I hate it.
Mind blown?
Anyway, in lighter news, we also like getting your mind blowns here at matt.n.alex in voice form, if you wouldn't mind sending us a little voice memo through to our Insta. We can put it on, just like this week, where our listener mind blown comes from Romy.
Hey, Matt and Alex, it's Romy from Melbourne, and I got a mind-blowing fact for you. Did you guys know that animals can be allergic to humans? It's in our skin cells, and some of them get allergic reactions just like we do. They get rashes, they stop breathing, and they break out. Some animals just aren't suited for the human life.
What?
It never occurred to me.
Is that for real? So all these people, like, who say, oh, I can't, I got an allergy to cats. The cats are like, yeah, don't be so hoity-toity. I got an allergy to you as well.
Oh, my God. Do you know how good it would make me feel if just once in my life I'd made a mosquito itchy? Oh, man.
Mind blown.
That's nuts. Well, Romy, you have blown our minds. Thank you very much for getting that one in. And thank you very much for listening to All Day Breakfast today. Matt and Alex will be back with you for a big episode tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really, really big one. So please stick with us. We'll see you then. And in the meantime, keep in touch with us at matt.n.alex.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.n.alex.